So if I just read the English for the for verses 52 to 54, and then we'll start with 55. So this chapter is entitled the branches. So this chapter is explaining the different branches of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So it's describing the most prominent followers of Sri Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya is like the main trunk of this tree, devotional tree. And the heaviest branch that comes from this trunk is Lord Nityananda, because he's so full of Krishna Prem. And from him so many other devotees, so many other prominent devotees came. So it's described like a tree. So Nityananda is the main branch that comes from the main trunk. And then there's so many devotees following him. So among the devotees of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Pitambar was the 64th, Madhavacharya the 65th, Damodar Das the 66th, Shankara the 67th, Mukunda the 68th, Gyanadas the 69th, and Manohara the 70th. Verse 53. The dancer Gopal was the 71st, Ramabhadra the 72nd, Gaurangadas the 73rd, Nishinga Chaitanya the 74th, and Minaketan Ramdas the 75th. Purport. The Gaura Ganodesha Dipika, verse 68, describes Minaketan Ramdas as an incarnation of Sankarshan. Verse 54. Vrindavandas Thakur, the son of Srimati Narayani, composed Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Text 55. Translation. Srila Vyasadev described the pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vyas of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vrindavan Das. Purport by Savangre Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was an incarnation of Veda Vyas and also a friendly cowherd boy named Kushumapid in Krishna Leela. In other words, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Shivas Thakur's niece, Narayani, was a combined incarnation of Veda Vyas and the cowherd boy Kushumapida. There is a descriptive statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his commentary on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, giving the biographical details of the life of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gauravaktivinda. Everyone hands in the air? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimata Jaya Pataya Kaswam Nita Namne Nama Jaya Padaya Nita Ayu Bhata Nita Kora Kora Dhamma Nita Padaya. I'll just read the last two verses again. I just want to focus on this particular important personality, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. So verse 54 says, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Srimati Narayani, composed Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. So for those, little advert here, this is the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's so thick. And it describes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Initially, Vrindavan Das Thakur called this book Chaitanya Mangal. But then Lord Chandas Thakur, who's later on found out, Lochan Das Thakur had already written a biography on Lord Chaitanya, and he had named it Chaitanya Mangal. In those days, they didn't have, you know, social media, Facebook, etc., you know, news channels. They didn't know. So many of the leading Vaishnavas got together, and they had to make a decision. So they aptly named Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. They changed the name to Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Krishna Das Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he always refers to Chaitanya Mangal, but he's not talking about Lochan Das Thakur's. He's talking about this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is why Prabhupada says later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Text 55. Srila Vyasadeva described the pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vyas of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Vrindavan Das. So just as Vyasadev wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, so Vyasadev incarnated again in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Vrindavan Das, and he wrote the Bhagavatam of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Bhagavat. In the the Antya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the very last chapter, right near the end, Krishna Das Kaviraj again mentions Vrindavan Das Thakur. So I'd just like to read a few verses, which gives us a bit more detail. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadev in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Vrindavan Das Thakur has within his jurisdiction the full store of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he has left aside most of them and described but a small portion. What I have described was left aside by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but although he could not describe these pastimes, he gave us a synopsis. In his book named Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has described these pastimes in many places. I request my readers to hear that book, for that is the best evidence. I have described the pastimes very briefly, for it is impossible for me to describe them in full. In the future, however, Vedavyas will describe them elaborately. So, if we do a comparison between Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur has written many of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he focused on Lord Chaitanya's earlier pastimes and middle pastimes, where he started the Sankirtan movement, and didn't focus so much on the Antya Lila, the Lord's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, very much. So Krishna Das Kaviraj, who's written Chaitanya Charitamrita, fills the gaps, and he explains all these other pastimes. But he also backs up all the pastimes with philosophy, as you are aware. Those of you who have been coming and to classes, or those of you who have read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, will know that there are a lot of philosophy, there's a lot of verses quoted from other scriptures also within here, to kind of give the foundation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving evidence of why he does what he does, who he is, who Lord Nityananda is, who these different devotees are. Whereas Chaitanya Bhagavat purely focuses on the story, on the actual pastime, like the story, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And it's a very, a very emotional, right? There's a lot of emotions involved between love between the Lord and his devotees in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So to understand that properly, therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's translated and given the purports to Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's more important to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. However, I would recommend you read them side by side, because Chaitanya Bhagavat really goes, and once you've read the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you then read it in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's like another level. So it's so sweet. Jai Shri Srivada Gokulananda Gonitai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. So Vyasadeva has come especially to write these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, just as he did, just as he wrote the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also has come, or came, and wrote so many books, spent so much time and energy writing books. First of all, Vyasadeva came, wrote so many books, right? Then Srila Prabhupada came and translated so many of the books, gave so many commentaries, purports. So why is there so much emphasis on books? Right? Books are the basis. I think most of the manner devoted brahmacharis, especially the brahmacharis, books are the basis means distributing books, right? I see all these hoodies, right? What does it say on the back? What does it say? Oh, you can't read because it's on your back. It's something like profusely distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, right? But first principle is to actually read the books, right? Distributing is important, but at least just as important is actually to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And these acharyas, Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada spent so much time and energy writing books for us. Now, recently, His Grace Bhuta Bhavna Prabhu came up to Birmingham. I'm from Birmingham, by the way. He came up to Birmingham and gave us a seminar on being yourself. And one of the things he was emphasizing is to study Srila Prabhupada's books. So the day after, a few of us boys got together and we were trying to analyze, why is the focus on studying Srila Prabhupada's book? It's not just reading. There is a big difference between reading Prabhupada's books and studying. Very big difference. And I, in analyzing, thinking, I really went deep. I'd like to share some of the analysis and the realizations that came out, if that's okay. Is that okay? Yeah? Could somebody turn this board around? Two of you. So they say a picture paints 1,000 words. So I have a little diagram here, which will help us, right? Which will help us to analyze. Oh, don't worry, I'll fill in the blanks. See, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, when we just read, the words kind of flow through us. We just, you know, skimming over the words. And still it's very purifying. To read Srila Prabhupada's books is always purifying. But there's something that happens when we study Srila Prabhupada's books that doesn't generally happen when we just read. Oh, thank you. Yes. There's something that happens when we study Srila Prabhupada's books that doesn't happen when we just read. How many people, many, many devotees, they start reading a book, especially that they enjoy, right? But they either don't finish or they Eventually it fizzles out, right? We would have that mode of passion. Yeah, come on, let's read Prabhupada's books. Read. Oh, this is boring, right? I'd much rather watch TV or whatever, right? Let's be honest. Because there's something that is missing. So what is that something? So first, I wanted to explain about the workings of the mind. Because when you understand this, then you can really understand what is the difference between reading and studying. Oh, thanks. So what are the inputs to the mind? What goes into the mind? Right, this is where you have to switch on. Sorry. I know it's a bit early in the morning. Yes. Impressions from what? Correct. So you get inputs from the senses, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, and what you touch. Right? Inputs from the senses. What else goes into the mind? What else do you have going on in your mind, right, even right now? Some of you are not even in this room. Some of you are thinking about, I don't know, your holiday next week or going to work on Monday. Memories are there, yes, so they come in the form of thoughts. Yes, somebody said thoughts. What else? Desires, very good. And the ladies, one more. Sorry? Perception, that's through the senses, yes. And then that creates thoughts. The reason why I said specifically ladies, because you... Feelings, yes, thank you. Did you see how much feeling she put in when she said that? Right? Emotions, of course. So these are all inputs to the mind. And then what comes out? What eventually comes out? Some? Action, that's right. We have our actions, right? And then, of course, we have more thoughts, desires, and emotions. So... We take, I hope not many of you have had this experience, but some of us may have had this experience, where somebody calls us and says, do you know so-and-so has been talking about you? Right? So-and-so, and you know what they said? They said this and that about you, all bad things, of course. Right? So after we put the phone down, so there's an input from the senses. What happens here? What does this generate? Some dangerous, maybe, thoughts, right? Why did they say that? How dare they say that, right? And this comes back, it's like this is a loop, right? And generates a particular emotion called, it's one letter away from danger. Anger, right? And this anger festers inside. People are laughing because they've had this experience, right? The anger festers inside, generates more thoughts, more emotions, right? And before you know, what's the action? You get on the phone to the person who's supposedly said all those bad things, and what do you do? What do you do? How dare you? Blah, 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 blah. And that person says, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. Right, and then in the discussion, you find out, oh, he wasn't talking about you, he was talking about somebody else with the same name. Right? Something as silly as that. So this is the cycle of the mind. We have inputs, and it just goes round and round in circles. Nowadays, unfortunately, we have many cases of depression. But if you go right back to the beginning... Depression was caused by what? What was the very initial trigger here? One negative thought, right? And then that generated another negative thought, right? And then another, you get the point? Right? It's just a downward cycle, right? This goes on and on, right? The mind is just churning, and before you know it, somebody's depressed. So, there is something very important that comes here and says, whoa, 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 stop. Stop right there. Right? Ever had a useless thought? Ever had a bad thought? Right? Or a negative thought? Yes. So what do you do about it? Something must come in and say, stop. This is a useless thought. This is a bad thought. What is it? Very good. Give him a round of applause. Intelligent. Krishna says in Gita, chapter 3, but he says, higher than dull matter are the sense, the working senses. Higher than the working senses is the
mind.
Higher than the mind is intelligence. So this is the reason why he says, intelligence is higher than the mind, because the intelligence comes in, kicks in and says, whoa, this thought, this emotion, this desire is not useful. It's not good for me. Right? Many of those of you who have been through exams will, I'm sure, know this, be able to relate to this experience where you're sat there trying to revise and it's a really boring subject and the mind goes, what's on TV? Right? Those of you who are Indian-bodied, very passionate about cricket, right? There's a cricket match or football going on at the same time, right? So your mind says, let's go watch some TV. But what does your intelligence have to say? What does your intelligence have to say? Stop! Keep your bum firmly fixed on that seat and revise. Because if you don't revise, you're going to fail the exam. The mind is always looking to please the senses. Always. You give it an inch, it will take a mile. Right? Those of you who go on book distribution will know this very well. You give your mind an inch. When you go out on the battlefield, when you go out into town, when you're doing Harinam, when you're doing book distribution, anything like that, where you're even when you're going to work and you're dealing with people who are non-devotees, this has to be kept under control. Because the second you give it, the second you let it go, it's... Right? It's taking you somewhere else. So the intelligence has to be switched on to control the mind. Right? And what empowers the intelligence? What gives intelligence its sharpness, its power, its strength? What is it? Knowledge, yes. What are you getting right now? And of course, we're devotees, so we're talking about spiritual intelligence, spiritual knowledge. Where do we get spiritual knowledge from? From? Yeah, books. From the scriptures. This is why Srila Vyasadev, Srila Prabhupada, and our acharyas have written so many books. Not so that we read the books. The idea is that these scriptures give us knowledge which then empowers our intelligence. There's a big difference between reading and studying, because when we are studying, this gets activated. If this is not activated, your mind is still, there's some purification, like I said, but it's not controlling the mind. You can take photo afterwards. You can come and take a photo. I haven't finished yet, there's still a bit missing. Right? This gives empowerment to your intelligence, which then enables you to control your mind in whatever situation you are. Right? That's why it's so important. Before you do your chanting, I recommend. So many people ask, how do we improve our chanting? It's one of the most common questions. Whether you've been in the movement 1 month, whether you've been in the movement, 10 years. One of the most common questions is, how do we improve our chanting? So the answer is, do something that, first of all, empowers your intelligence, switches your intelligence on. Because during your chanting, especially when you're doing 16 rounds in one go, that's like 1.5 hours, 2 hours of chanting, you need this switched on. Otherwise, your mind is going to go all over the place. As soon as you say the first ha, your mind is gone. Right? Your intelligence is the thing that will come in and say, hey, no, focus on hearing the name. Focus on hearing the name. It's your intelligence that tells us that. So what could you do to Activate the intelligence. This is why we recommend. Study Srila Prabhupada's books. Even if you study for 5 minutes, but really study Srila Prabhupada's books, it activates your intelligence. Empowers you with knowledge and activates your intelligence. Then when you go out on book distribution, then when you go out to work or out on Harinam, right, with your intelligence switched on, you're much more powerful and able to control your mind. So there's a nice seminar. Oh, let me just finish off. So there's one there's one other aspect here. Where else do we get knowledge from? So yeah, sometimes we get it from the books, but there's one other place where we get it from, especially as devotees. Say again? Spiritual master? No, that even, yeah, we can have another thing there. Scriptures, spiritual master, yes, other people, other devotees, but somebody said it? Super soul! So, you know, this is a sign of Superman. So, we say, super soul. Right? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Right? So, super soul gives us the understanding by which we can then come to him. Sometimes we get direction, guidance from super soul directly. So this channel, this channel here at the moment generally is quite weak. But the more we read, the more we study Srila Prabhupada's books, the more this channel here becomes open. It's like a mobile phone reception, right? Yeah, we've all had experience, right, going on the underground, right? Right, reception cuts out. Right? Can't hear very well. So to make this reception with Super Soul clearer, this is why we need to study Srila Prabhupada's books. How many of you have had the experience where you're going through some churning, something's going on, you need some answer, and you just say, okay, now maybe I should just read something, right? You open the book, and it's like the book is talking directly to you, to making a point, right? And is answering that point that was disturbing you directly, right? How many of you had that experience? I know I have, many times, right? Or you have a question, you know, you have a question, you think about something, and then later on, you keep reading, and then the answer just slaps you in the face, right? So this is Super Soul. Sometimes Super Soul talks to us directly, gives us that knowledge and empowers our intelligence to then control our mind and make good decisions. So this is this whole thing is nicely portrayed in Bhagavad Gita. If you read chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, what's the state of Arjuna's mind? He's faced with the very difficult task of killing his relatives. So here in his mind, there are so many conflicting emotions going on. So many conflicting emotions. Yes, I need to do my duty, but how can I kill my guru? How can I kill my grandfather, Bhishma Dev? Right? So many conflicting emotions going on. So what does Krishna do? Right? Arjuna says, Karpanya dosho pata, so many. I'm confused about my duty. I don't know what to do. So what does Krishna do? For 45 minutes, what does Krishna do? Become a spiritual master. But what does he do? He gives him knowledge. Right? The Bhagavad Gita is showing exactly this. Krishna then spends 45 minutes speaking the whole Bhagavad Gita, empowering his intelligence on what to do to control his mind. And then what happens? What does Arjuna say? What does Arjuna say then? I surrender to you, blah, blah, blah. But what does he do? Huh? Yes, I'm ready to fight. He went from zero to hero. Right? From zero to hero. He dropped his bow. He was crying like a crybaby. You know, oh, I can't fight. Right? To hero. He won the battle in the end. Right? Because Krishna empowered him with knowledge, which empowered his intelligence, which then enabled him to do what he had to do. So the next question is, Yes, we want to be empowered as well. The next question is, how do we study Srila Prabhupada's books? So His Grace Buddha Bhavana Prabhu has given us a nice four-step formula. And I've kind of categorized it just to help us remember. We've got it as a word. And I've added three. So the first thing we do before we read, before we study, is to pray. Right? We pray first. Before we even open the book, we pray first. My dear Lord, my dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear spiritual master, if you have one, please help me to imbibe what I'm about to read, to really absorb, to really understand what I'm about to read. Because spiritual knowledge comes through mercy. Understanding spiritual knowledge comes by mercy. So we really pray first. Then the next thing is we read or study. Right? So then we read the words carefully. The first purport of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, we should very scrutinizingly study this Gita. Scrutinizingly. So scrutinizing is... is to really analyze every word. One devotee was reminding me of the story where, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he has his dictaphone, and every night he would be translating all the books, and then he would give the recordings to the editors. So one time for 2 days, there was no material. So the editors went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, is everything okay? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, everything's fine. But I'm just thinking of which word to use. 2 days, there was no material, because thinking of which one word to use in this purport. This is how much we should scrutinize. This is how much we should study Srila Prabhupada's books. Even one sentence, you could spend 2 hours discussing it. We've done it. It was one sentence of negative instruction. Prabhupada made one. We spent 2 hours just discussing that one sentence. Right? This is how deep our Srila Prabhupada's books are, our scriptures. And when we study, when we specifically study, so E stands for examine. Really scrutinize. Really look at every sentence, look at every word. Right? Because when you do this part, what happens? You get knowledge even from reading. What's the difference between studying and reading? What happens? You activate the intelligence at this part. Reading doesn't activate the intelligence necessarily. Right? This is the difference. Even what I'm doing right now is I'm asking you questions. So you're having to think. You're having to use your intelligence. Right? This is how to activate the intelligence. So even while you're reading, you examine, you ask questions. Why does Srila Prabhupada say this? What does he mean by this? Devotees should be compassionate to all living entities. What does compassionate mean? Why should we be compassionate to all living entities? I don't know somebody. Why should I be compassionate to them? Right? Joe blogs on the street. There's so much depth to what Srila Prabhupada said, but we just read that in 2 seconds and next sentence, next sentence, next sentence. We're not absorbing, we're not stopping and really engaging this intelligence. Right? So you can also say, examine and engage the intelligence. So then finally, after we've studied, you can make notes, you can ask questions, and it's even if you don't know, find the answer to the question, that's okay, write it down, and then we can ask somebody later. Right? Cannot find out, the answer will come later, but the point is your intelligence is hungry to find out the answer. Right? This is the difference. And then the final thing that Buddha Bhavana Prabhu was saying. So, the final thing is close the book and then you guess. Practice? Yep. Actually, that's going to come later. You pray again. Except this time, you pray, you close to say thank you, show your gratitude, and again to try and follow it. So then the next ARE is then to practice. So then you try and take some action on what you've learned. Prabhupada says, Devotees should be compassionate to all living entities. Okay, so the next time I see a cat, I say, Hare Krishna. What? Be compassionate. Next time I see a tree, I'll say, Hare Krishna, to the tree. Because Srila Prabhupada doesn't just say, be compassionate to the human beings. He says to all living entities. That means even when I see a tree, I should be compassionate. Right? See how much depth there is? But when we just read, you'll skip over, you won't make that connection. So we then take action on what we've examined. And then R stands for... I forgot what R stands for now. Sorry? Realization? Yeah. Realization, thank you. I'm glad I did. See, Krishna made me forget, so that I thought of a different one, but that's better. Right? Realization, yes. Right? Because what's the realization? The realization is, yes, Srila Prabhupada is correct. Right? Because when you follow the instructions of Guru, that's when the mercy comes. Right? When sometimes people say, is it better to chant one round? But chant that one round with so much love, so much devotion, right? Than to chant 16 rounds, but a little bit rushed. So the answer is, it's always better to chant 16 rounds. Always. Because when you chant 16 rounds, you are following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, what happens? The mercy that comes in. Even if somebody is chanting 15 rounds, it's not linear. It's not like, okay, if you chant 2 rounds, you get this much mercy. If you chant 4 rounds, you get that much. If you chant 15 rounds, you get that much. When you chant 16 rounds, it's like this. Whoosh! Exponential, it's off the scale, because when you follow the order of Guru, the mercy comes rushing. So when you're examining, when you're studying Srila Prabhupada's books, and then you follow, you'll get so many realizations. Thank you for that word. Right? And then finally, we have E, which is empowered intelligence. Don't leave home without it. Right? Empowered intelligence. So this is what we want to be as devotees. We want to be empowered devotees. There's a reason why Vrindavan Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Srila Prabhupada have written so many books. Not for us to just read them, to actually really go deep and study them, get realizations and transform our lives. Right? To really transform. If we're not doing something different, we're going to get the same results. If we want a different result, that means we need to do something different. So when we do this every day, especially I recommend to do it in the morning, if those of you who go to work or go on book distribution, if you can do this in the morning before you go out, you watch how different your day is. Right? And I'll say from personal experience, when I haven't read before going to work, and I do read before going to work, it's a totally different thing. At work, I'm like, ch-ch-ch, right? So mind is so much clearer, so intelligence is so much sharper when you study before going out. So don't leave home without it. So prepare, that's what it stands for, to help you remember. But these four, especially when you sit down to study, you do these four things. So pray. You then read very carefully, then you examine, ask questions, and then when you finish again, you pray. That way you activate. That way you activate the intelligence. Okay, so I'll stop there. If there are any comments, questions, criticisms, please go ahead.